was asked recently about this famine and what God's purpose was for it and all of famines. And I did a short study, was working on that a little bit, and then I had planned to study further and take us through Acts chapter 9 and the healing of Dorcas. And I got to thinking this week, in fact, on Wednesday night when we were going through the concept of storing up things for the future, I got to thinking, you know, this is maybe a lesson that the church should take in right now. I think I've got it. Second Chronicles 7 reads like this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Lots of questions going on about frightening times. It's the backdrop of this in Genesis 41. You remember that Joseph was in a pit that his brothers threw him in. The pit is the same word in the Old Testament as a cistern or a well. Have you ever been in a pit? Remember the old saying, or actually you don't hear it very often, but that's the pits. And you think about all kinds of pits. There's a car pit. There's carpet. But there's a car pit. There's a mechanic's pit, which is different. Well, where do you get the saying, that's the pits? It comes from a bad smell, body odor, from your pits. From the 1950s. That's when you get, it's kind of like being in a pig pit or pen. You're in a place that is not very fun either way. It is in a bad place, especially when your brothers put you there. You remember that it was Reuben who said, let's not kill him. And they threw him in the pit. He came back to get him, and he was already gone and sold to Egypt. And then you remember that he's in prison. The word there is the pit or the dungeon. And you remember that there was two men who had dreams, the cupbearer and the baker. And you remember that story. And after 3 days, he will lift you up, he said to the cupbearer, but the baker was in trouble. The cupbearer was supposed to remember Joseph was in the pit and was supposed to tell Pharaoh when he got a chance or when a good opportunity came about, and he forgot about it until this time when Pharaoh has a dream. And it's mentioned, the dream is mentioned twice when he has it, and then of course it's told here when he tells it to Joseph. So he is brought from the pit. Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. That's the words in your ESV, and it's a good word. But it does mean dungeon, or it's the lowest part of the dungeon, the prison. It's interesting to me, it always has been interesting to me, that Joseph never lost hope. He did grow a beard, which for them was kind of odd, I think, especially in Egypt. But he grew a beard because nobody was seeing him. He was stuck away in the dark. And yet Joseph did not lose hope. Why? Because he himself had a dream. Do you remember the dream he had? Where he would be lifted up over his brothers, that even the sun and the moon would bow, and Jacob said, "Will me and your mother bow to you?" They knew exactly what the interpretation of the dream was when Joseph told him the dream. He had a vision that set him apart from everybody else. Nobody was going to take it away from him. And in fact, he told his brothers and told his family, no matter what it meant, no matter what it meant that they were going to act, how they were going to act upon it. He had a dream. Now, you may have had special dreams. You may have had special visions of your life to come, what it was meant to be for you. Maybe it's still not fulfilled. That's one thing, but I just want to talk about America as a whole for a minute and the Western Church. There was a dream for America, and it was carried out by brave people and lots of lost lives. And in fact, that still is the case today. That the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all the things that we deem was the foundation for this country was founded on a biblical purpose for this nation, and especially the church in this nation. Now, however we come down on that now and what you believe about that now, the point is that, just like Thomas Jefferson said, there is a sovereign over this country, and there was a sovereign over his life, and most of the founding fathers knew that. They sensed it, they saw it through their experience. Now, like I said, I was going to do a sermon on miracles, and Joe, I'm not sure if he changed sermons, we were going to do this together, talk about why isn't God doing miracles today, or is he and where are they, or why doesn't he do them as much, or especially why doesn't he do them as much in the church or in the Western Hemisphere. We could talk about that all day. Maybe I'll bring that up next time. But the point is that we're living by faith right now. The point is that whatever is coming about right now, whether it is good or bad, we are to live by faith, just like Joseph said. Because Joseph had a vision, Hebrews chapter 11, there's a city waiting for all of us. There's a city on a hill in Zion that is waiting for us, the eternal Zion. But ever since his dream, Joseph's dream, it was all downhill. You notice that? Ever since he had it, ever since he told people, it was all downhill. And again, I think it was mentioned in Sunday school this morning. It's been happening since Genesis chapter 3. That once the vision is out there, once Adam and Eve got the blessing, and they were supposed to take care of God's things, Satan came after him. Once Joseph has got his dream, Satan comes after him. Once America got her dream, I believe, with all the missionary work that we've done in the churches, it used to say there was a church on every street corner, and in fact, the church used to be the center of the towns, especially in the east. And after that, it's downhill. Where is it going to stop? Where is it going to end? What is it going to end, and what is it going to look like? Doesn't matter. Right now, it doesn't matter. The matter is that we have faith in God and the vision that he has for the church and you as an individual. You should have some kind of vision of what it looks like for you in the future, living by faith, into the millennium, serving the Lord. If you don't have that vision, get one painted. Read your Bible. There's not a lot of indication that Joseph kept up with his dream. He didn't keep telling people. But there is a lot of indication of his faith. In fact, there is a lot of indication of his work in God. So when it was Joseph's time, he was brought out of the pit. I heard somebody say the other day that a lot of us kind of lose track of some of our dreams or what God has for the church or us as individuals, and we get a little bit concerned that the Lord has left me behind and there's nothing for me to do. I heard a very prominent person saying the other day that even he believes sometimes that he's not making any headway. He's not helping in any way. He puts very good articles out there. There's lots of people reading them as far as I'm concerned, but not for him. There's not enough, and he's probably right. There's not enough. There's not a ton going on, it seems like, especially in our individual lives. But there's going to be a time, and there is a time, where God will need you to speak up and stand up for that thing that you believe. 14b, and when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there's no one who can interpret it. I have heard it because of you, that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Now, Pharaoh didn't have the answers. And he's the ruler of the whole nation. He's got all his magicians and all his enchanters and all his wise men, and he doesn't have an answer. They didn't have an answer. And you know what? Joseph didn't have the answer either. But he knew the person who had the answer. And that's the key. You see, you do not have to have all the answers. You just need to know the person who does. And you need to be able to give hope in times of stress, in times of temptation, in times of those things to come. You need to give hope. I know the person who does. Wayne Watson, that singer, sings one of those songs that I love. He says, now all I have is now. To be faithful, to be holy, and to shine, lighting up the darkness, right now I really have no choice. I love that phrase. I told somebody that recently, and it's kind of stuck in their minds and mine even then. I've been thinking about it for some time, but there was a conversation that came up, and I said that, and this week I thought about this song. We don't have a choice in God, do we? I'm going to give up. I'm going to go hide in a corner. I'm going to close the shades. I'm going to bury myself. And he says, not believers. Not if you're a believer. Now, you have three choices. You can bury your head in the sand. And that's my first don't at the end of the page. Do not bury your head in the sand. Don't do that. Or we can go out with everybody else and cry about this and complain about that. And you know, all that says is God's not sovereign over my life and he doesn't know what he's doing. And it comes out of fear. Really, honestly, if you think about it, fear is going to be the dominating factor unless things change. They already are. People don't know what to do, and that's why Peter says don't go into drunkenness. Don't go into other things, because that's what your flesh is going to want to do. You're going to want to bury your head, especially in a bottle, and go do something else. No, if you're a believer, you have no choice but to voice the truth to the nation, a generation looking for God. Do you ever wonder why? Seems like the grass is always greener under everybody else's sky. But right here for this time and place, you can live a mirror of his mercy, a forgiven image of grace. For such a time as this, I was placed upon the earth to hear the voice of God and to do his will, whatever it is. Is this a great song or what? For such a time as this. For now, and all the days he gives, I am here, and I am his. for such a time as this. You have no choice. God has said, this is the day I had you born. This is the day that you will die. In between that dash is what happens. And that's what matters, right? That's what somebody said. It's not the dates, it's the dash. The dash matters. And you were appointed for this day. If the church surrenders, if the church hides, if you hide, you are giving up your duties and responsibilities. And I would say people are going to lose hope if we don't do our job. You're going to have an opportunity to reveal God if things continue like they are. If this famine, I'm going to call it this famine, continues. Now, James Madison in 1778, he said, we have staked the whole future of American civilization not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of all our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves. I heard that this morning. By the fruit of the Spirit. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, to control. To sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. So, having given that and having seen that that is not the case in our nation, I'm suggesting to you that I see a famine coming. I'm not a prophet. I will say like Amir said, you know, our church is a nonprofit organization. I'm not a prophet, but I can read the Bible and I can see what's going on around me, just like Jesus said. In verse 18, seven cows, plump and attractive, came up out of the river Nile and fed in the reed grass. Now look at them. They are feeding. They are leisurely doing what they do. You and I get this vision. There's those seven big old fat cows eating. Seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and thin, such as I have never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the thin, ugly cows ate up the first seven plump cows. I heard some commentary say that they were eating together. There's no concept of that. These seven cows are eating, and the other ones come up after them, ugly cows. Thank you for the picture. That's an ugly picture in my mind. Ouch. And they come up and eat the plump cows. That is an ugly picture. Why? Because famine and destitution is ugly. It is ugly. But when they had eaten them, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were still as ugly as the beginning. Then I awoke. I also saw in my dream 7 ears growing on one stalk, full and good. 7 ears withered thin and blighted by the east wind sprouted after them. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 good ears. And I told it to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Look at that again. They're growing. You got cows eating. You got stocks growing. Everything is healthy, and that's the way America's been, isn't it? I mean, we've been eating and growing. See it? We've been eating and growing since we started as a nation. I'm here to say that America is probably the strongest nation that has ever been, because of militarily, because of our resources, because of our isolation from surrounding enemies. They got to go across the oceans or come up through the canal, you know. And we're going to put a fence up for that. So we've had it really good, growing and eating. But at some point, something has to happen, because we're not Bible prophecy. And I know this, there's only one thing you need to know. There's no nation that stands with Israel at the end. That's all we have to know. We don't know how, we don't know when, we don't know any of that. But nobody stands with Israel, and so therefore every nation is judged. Every single nation will be brought to the valley of Jehoshaphat and judged. Now, I don't know about you, but when I see, we've been talking about dominoes the last couple of weeks. I've just seen domino after domino. And in fact, the Bible talks about a whole lot of dominoes that have to fall. So this may not be the end, but I've seen domino and domino. The Minneapolis domino, and now the Portland domino, and one started because of a killing, and then the other one just started because they're mad. And then you exacerbated by the virus, which isn't going away, and everybody's afraid of fear. And we're concerned, and now the economy, I'm telling you, the last week or two, and I've been telling people, I've been talking to people for a while about the economy. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist. Again, I'm not a politician or an economist. But when you're today, they don't talk about this anymore. It just seemed like yesterday we were $20 trillion in debt, and I remember hitting 22. You know what it is now? 27. It went from 22 to 27, just like that. You're not digging yourself out of that pit. You're not digging yourself out of that pit. Something has changed. Something in America has changed. Something in the world has changed. There is chaos across the planet. I can go through the nations, I can talk about the cities, but there's protests everywhere. And then you got a huge bomb in Lebanon. And interesting enough for them that they had this and this and this happening, and all of a sudden you have this 7,500 tons of ammonia nitrate go off in their town. It leveled everything for 1.25 mile. It damaged buildings up to 6 miles. Left a crater, a football field and a half wide. They didn't need that. But we didn't need the virus either. But we have it. I think I'm going to lose my dream, don't you? I'm going to lose what I think has happened in America. We're going to lose this prosperity and the hope. If we do, we're not a Joseph. We need to know that we've been born for such a time as right now. Right now. And the government is changing, and the people are changing, and they want socialism or something different. And they don't want James Madison's dream. And they don't want yours. Some, many still do, and we'll see what happens in November, but even November, we can't hope in November. We have to hope in God. You got these cows coming up. Ugly cows. I read something on the depression recently. And depressions, it says, the one thing that caught me in this article was depressions don't just generate ugly stats, sending buyers and sellers into hibernation. Depression causes everything across the board. I want you to think about this. Seven fat cows. We've had a fat economy. Would you say? A fat economy. We've had fat freedom and democracy. You can go wherever you want, vote however you want, pack a gun, almost wherever you want. We've had modern technology, the likes have never been seen on any other planet or in any other nation. Our technology is fantastic. Healthcare, in general, has been fantastic. Strength of our military, bar none. The political state of the nation, in general, has been excellent because of the democracy and republic that we have. It's been fair and good and honest in general. We've had some problems. And the spiritual state of the nation in general was pretty good. But I think the spiritual state was one of the first ones to turn, wasn't it? I think so, because when they took the Bible out of the schools and when they started saying abortion was okay and those kinds of things back in the 60s and 70s, everything started going down like that. They took our dream from us. They're trying to. Now, $27 trillion in debt, the economy, freedom and democracy, they're shutting down states. The voting issue is a big deal. Anybody can vote, which is wrong. Modern technology, you find anything you want on the line, even how to buy a slave, sex trafficking, and all that stuff. The COVID, our healthcare, the COVID virus, and all that stuff. We don't have enough beds for some places in some cities. The strength of our military is still wonderful, but we've been the world's policemen so much that we've made really bad mistakes in North Africa, in Iraq, even in Iran. We've made some really bad mistakes. And you know that our weapons are being used against us. The political state, do we need to say anything about that? A house divided against itself cannot stand. And the spiritual state of our nation, do I need to say anything about that? A spiritual decline. The seven cows have become lean. I see them, if they haven't eaten up the other ones already, they're sure becoming lean. Things have changed. Things have changed. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. It says in this context here that God is bringing this about and what he is doing. Now you can say all you want that God didn't bring a famine, but he does. Let me just suggest a couple things. One, he brings a famine to test his people. He brings a famine to test the world. Who are we going to turn to for our help? And the famine in this context is all seven of these cows. And so we got a famine, Lord. We've got a whole bunch of stuff going downhill. What are we going to do? Well, we've got to turn to the government. Because that's what the world is going to do. The world is going to turn to government. I need more money. I need better benefits. I need better health. You need to fix the climate, and on and on and on. Folks, I'm telling you that the Bible says that is not going to work. It is doomed to fail. Because it says the day of the Lord, that's God's day, is coming. It's his day, he's bringing it. Why? Because when the world turns, and I'll just say the world now, but I believe America in particular right now, the most generous nation ever, the most spiritual Christian nation, I believe, ever, has sent more missionaries and more money across overseas ever, bar none, is in trouble. And it's, the famine is coming. It's a house divided. And so, God, we have to say, Lord, what's happening? And he's saying, my day of the Lord is coming. Now, okay, Raymond, here you go. You're getting us all scared again. I mean, you know, I don't see the day of the Lord coming. I didn't hear any prophecies of the day of the Lord coming. Somebody had a dream here or there, maybe. But what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. That's what the Bible says. The Bible specifically says that God is bringing out a day. He's bringing a day about. And he's bringing it about to test the nations, to judge the nations, to turn people to righteousness, turn people to God. And Jesus said, if you watch this, you'll be able to see that day coming. And when we watch him, we say, what did he say? Go hide in the basement? He said, look up. I mean, when you're down and out, you know, you feel like looking up with a smile on your face and praising the Lord and lifting your hands, singing a joyful song. We don't, do we? We feel like moping and going like this and maybe go hiding in the basement again, the pit. The Lord says, look up, for your redemption is near. And at this point, unless God's, remember what I just started with, 2 Chronicles 7, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, if we'll humble ourselves, he and seek his face, he's going to heal our land. If that doesn't happen, we can say, well, this may be the beginning of something. It may be. God is bringing about his day. It's what he is about to do. The seven cows are 7 years, and the 7 years, ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. The seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears, blighted by the east wind, are also 7 years of famine. It is as though I told Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what is he's about to do. That's twice. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. But after then, there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land, and the plenty will be unknown to the land by the reason of the famine that will follow, for it will be very severe. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. That's three. I think he said it three times. God is bringing it about, and he mentions it a couple times here as well, that the good is going to be forgotten. The good is forgotten. Do you remember? I can look around here and see. Some of you, when you were 5, and then by then I would have been 10 or 15, and then some of us a little older than that. Do you remember in the 60s and 70s? Yeah, we had a little oil issue there, a little recession here and there, but things were pretty good. Things were pretty good. But God is bringing about what he said he would bring about. Now, in Isaiah 40, I've mentioned this several times here. I'll just say this. This is a little bit different take on this. God knows everything. He declares it. A voice cries. I said, what shall I cry? No, I'm sorry. The Lord said, a voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. Who blew on the grass? The Lord. The grass withered. But whom did he consult, and whom made him understand? Who taught God the path of justice and taught him knowledge? And who showed him the way of understanding? Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by God? But you, Israel, my servant, and can I say, you, church, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, this offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. You are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you off. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who says to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. Who declared from the beginning that we might know, and beforehand that we might say, he is right. He's going to say it. We're going to experience it. We're going to look up to God and say, you are right. And that's where we want to be. That's where we want to be, God. You are right. We are his witnesses. John 15, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And so he gives us instruction as his friends. And these things are fixed. Now therefore, here's Joseph's advice. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land, and take one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt during the seven plentiful years, and let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming, and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine. Now again, I'm not a financial guy. I'm not a numbers guy. But I have been told this. The first thing you do is to take your offering to the Lord. I'm not going to say tithe. That's Old Testament. But you give what you can to the Lord. That's the first place your money goes. If you're not doing that, the blessing is already in trouble. Your vision is in trouble to the point that God is saying, well, I'm waiting here for you to acknowledge me as your God. So I'm going to use the word tithe first. Give your offering first. What's the next thing you do? You put away a reserve. If you can, especially, I don't know if it's going to be a fifth or what, but just put something away. Reserve something, which I haven't been really good at it. But maybe now is the time to start a little bit more. Put a reserve away. These things are coming upon us. And Ecclesiastes 9:18 says, wisdom is better than weapons of war. But one sinner destroys much good. Proverbs 24:5, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. And back to Ecclesiastes 7:19, wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. We love our cops. We love some politicians. We love the work of our nation in general, but we can't rely on them. We have to use the wisdom of the Lord and be wise. And in these coming times, you're going to be worth more than a policeman. You're going to be an essential worker in the way that we point people to God and share what we have with them, both materially and spiritually. This proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this? And whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regard to the throne will I be greater than you. In 1 Chronicles 12, the men of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. In other words, in the days of Saul, when he was chasing David, God had set apart David, and David was hiding, and men went unto him. Men went to him. Men who understood what God was doing. And the men of Issachar was that way. And they had 200 chiefs and kinsmen under their command, and they would tell others, this is what we need to do. We need to go promote David and work for him. Esther 1:13, then the king consulted the wise men who knew the times. Because that's what they did back then. Some are arrogant and don't talk to anybody. They consult themselves. To be frank with you, Trump is a little bit that way. He's a little bit that way. But he does consult some. I wish he'd consult a little more. Then the king consulted the wise men who knew the times. It was customary for him to confer with the experts in law and justice. Do I have to name how many people? Just off the top of my head this morning. Pharaoh did this. It happened the same way in Exodus chapter 7. So Genesis 41, same thing in Exodus chapter 7. The king in Esther's day, Esther 1. Daniel chapter 2, remember? They asked Daniel about his wisdom. And then remember the handwriting on the wall with Belshazzar? And he tried to get all the magicians and wise men to tell him what it said, and nobody could do it. And then they called Daniel in again. Listen, we can say, well, I'm not a Joseph, and I'm not a Daniel, and I'm none of these wise people. The question is, like Jesus said, are you his friend? You're his friend. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Now, it's going to help if you know the scriptures. And the more you read, the more you understand. The more you look out like Jesus said, the more understand. Wait a minute, I've got good word here. I know my God, he's a good God. He's just God. So what's going on around here? The famines that are having, are happening are testing the church, like again was promoted this morning. God is testing the church, redefining the church, defining the church, I should say, refining it as well. And then he's making people choose. He's making people choose. Now this may be a 7-year famine. It may be shorter than that. But with everything that's happening on the world right now, should I go through the list? No, I'm not going to. But with everything that's happening in the world right now, I do not think that this is temporary. I'm not going to say it is or isn't, but I don't think myself personally it is. I think that something is astir. I think that something is happening in the world, God's world, and God is bringing it about. So, such a time as this, you've been placed on the earth for your kids, for your grandkids, and then remember Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and then just keep going. Whatever opportunity God gives you to talk to whoever you can about what he's doing and what is to come. And not out of fear, we say, Lord, help me figure this out. Help me help them understand the times so that we can be in good health again when you come. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for men and women like Esther and Joseph and Daniel and David and Nathan the prophet and so many others, Abraham, who understood your ways, but who had to learn. They had to learn. And we have to learn too, Lord. We pray a nation's blessing here, Lord, that you will bring us out of this and return us to health. However, if you choose not to do that, I pray more than anything, Lord, right now, that you will instill in our hearts great courage and not fear, that we will be unafraid by who is doing what, by what days are coming. We will know your word, and we will know the person of the word, that is you and your Son, Jesus Christ. We love you for it, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.